Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Good morning. I look so sleepy.
I know, because you just woke up.
Wow, my gosh.
It's 11:30. But what time did you wake up? Like 10:30?
No, 10. And then I was like dozy. And then I was like, babe. I like 10:30.
We're recording in the morning, which is not normal for us.
Wild.
Normally, we record late at night.
Yeah. Like 8 p.m.
Okay. Listen, we're very old. That could be midnight, basically.
Yeah, it is midnight, basically.
Yeah, but we thought, let's just record this morning because we got nothing going on.
Yeah.
So, happy Sunday or whatever day you're listening. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Not much. We went out for your birthday last night.
Oh, yeah.
That's not why I slept till 10. I didn't even have a drink, but.
No. We were, in fact, asleep by 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my birthday coming up this week on November 20th. Mm-hmm. And so, every year I just like to do like a locked room or something, just something fun and casual.
Yeah. We did a Mean Girls burn book themed locked room and it was so fun.
It was really well done.
Yeah. You start in Regina George's bedroom and then the next room you have to get into is set up like their gymnasium.
Their spring fling.
Yeah.
Party. And then one of the people in the room, but you don't know who yet, is a traitor and is trying to like find the burn book to like email it to everybody.
Yeah. Email it.
Well, like spread it out.
Yeah.
What's it called? Spread the word.
Spread the word. Give it to the principal.
Yeah. And we had to start the locked room by everybody. So I got the iPad first and I had to write my nickname, like answer a couple of questions and then write a burn about the next person I was going to give it to. And then that person got it and had to write.
Yeah, like it was an iPad and so, or a tablet. And so the tablet prompted you to burn the sort of in order.
Yeah.
And so there was 4 of us. So you had to burn the next person, who's our friend Lindy. And then I guess Lindy must have had to burn
Rachel.
And then I got it handed to me. Who wrote my burn though?
Rachel.
Okay. And then mine said, write a burn about the first person that had the tablet.
So that was me. You.
And then it was so cool. So the very last task was we had to break into some lockers and one of the lockers had like they had printed our faces because we had to take a picture with this tablet.
Yeah.
So they printed
a burn book.
Yeah. Of the 4 of us.
It was funny anyway.
Yeah. It was super funny. We got to keep it.
We did. Did we take it?
Yeah.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I'm sure I put it in your car because I was driving your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in your car, I think.
Great.
Great. Anyways, it was fun.
Yeah. And then I took my birthday off and so did you. And we're going to do a few of the free things you get to do for your birthday. So we're going to go to Denny's for my free meal. We're going to go to Crumble for my free cookies. Starbucks, obviously, for my free coffee.
Yeah. Then we're just going to hang out.
Yeah. One of our dogs has to get a sedated x-ray that day.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah. we have to see if he has arthritis, but he's so big and so scared of the vet that they have to sedate him.
Yeah. He's just a little scaredy cat.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah.
We are recapping season 3, episode 13.
Yeah. The Tribes That Bind. I don't feel comfortable saying that.
It feels problematic to me.
And it gets more problematic as the episode goes on.
Yeah.
Okay, so January 25th, 1999. I'm in grade 12. You're in grade 10?
10, yeah.
Okay. The church ladies throw Annie a baby shower and end up snooping in her house.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the main snooper, Mrs. Beaker, we've seen her before.
Yeah, she's a recurring character. And what she's been in a ton of things.
Yeah.
Like, she's, as soon as you see her face, you're like, oh, I've seen her in a ton of things just as this character. Like, this sort of, like, high-pitched, nosy, know-it-all Karen.
Yeah, I want to look her up, but IMDb is being real slow right now.
Oh, god damn it.
I'm usually so fast at it. Maybe it's our internet because we're recording.
Well, I turned my Wi-Fi off.
Okay, I didn't. what's her name in real life? It is...
I feel like it's going to be so hard to find because we're recording.
No, it's right here.
That's old not woman, her.
Edie McClurg.
Oh. Is she Canadian?
I don't know.
Look, scroll back to where you just were.
She was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Wreck-It Ralph, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I think it said where she was born if you just scroll
up. The original Missouri.
Oh.
Kansas City. She looks like she's in some episodes of Family Guy. She's basically in everything.
Yeah, like NCIS.
Yeah. She does looks like she's in some cartoons, so she must do some voiced work.
Yeah, she's got that voice.
Yeah. If she was somebody in Frozen, Gerda.
Huh.
I don't know. Anyways, I feel like someone like my mom is going to write in and be like, that's so-and-so. She's so famous.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
So we start out in the car, school pickup. Mary is picking up the older kids. Or no, she's picking up all the kids from school.
And Simon and Ruthie, because Lucy's not there.
Okay, this is where I'm going with it.
Spoiler alert.
Mornings are not our strong suit.
It's because I slept till 10.
Yeah, and I've been up for 7 hours.
Oh my god, you got up at 7:30 because you set an alarm.
No, I woke up before my alarm.
Oh, that's the worst.
So Ruthie and Simon get in the car and they're like, where's Lucy? And Mary's like, she's at an all-by-myself camp.
Camp all by myself.
Camp all by myself. And so I wonder in real life what was going on. Obviously, Lucy couldn't, like, Beverly Mitchell wasn't available to film. Like, this was, it seemed like a very intentional.
Well, I have a theory.
Oh.
Because in this episode, we see the Hamiltons.
Yeah.
And there's a Hamilton kid for every Camden except Lucy.
Would they have kept her out of it for that?
But she's all by herself. She has to go to camp all by myself.
I don't know.
She doesn't have a Hamilton friend.
I think she had something in real life going on that she couldn't make the filming dates. And so they
Beverly, Bev, if you're out there, January 25th, 1999, what were you doing?
What were you doing? Please tell us. So we find out right away Lucy's not going to be in the episode. They do a couple of scenes where she's on the phone, and so they record her. But, like, it's very minimal. Mm-hmm. So do we want to start with that?
Sure. She can't be at a camp all by myself. She's too...
Yeah, she decides to go to this camp all by myself to prove that in order to be in a successful relationship with somebody else, you have to be in a successful relationship by yourself.
It's a voyage to her inner self.
Yeah. So, but she's not doing well. She didn't realize that she would literally be in a cabin all by herself.
Nobody
would talk to you. Mm-hmm. And so she ends up being on the phone, like how she got a phone, I don't know, but calling home to like find out the gossip and tell them, complain about what's going on.
She's like trying to gossip with Annie about the baby shower. She's trying to like gossip with Mary, and then Mary's handing off the phone to Matt, and Matt's trying to throw it at Simon because he doesn't want to talk to her anymore. And that's literally it.
That's it. That's her storyline.
Yeah. All by herself.
And so, yeah, that's her. Mm-hmm. But then I think Ruthie's storyline really carried a huge portion of this episode.
Yeah, for the first time.
For the first time.
My notes are literally all over the place. Like, I usually can break them down by storyline, and right. It's just like a run-on sentence.
Okay, well...
Do you want me to just to read my run-on sentence for the next 25 minutes?
So, Ruthie has beef with a classmate who happens to be a boy and a neighbor because he saw her underwear and he won't stop talking about it.
His name's Bobby Tripp.
Bobby Tripp, and he will not shut up about it. And so Ruthie told Bobby that her big brother, Simon, is going to beat up his big brother. Did you catch his name?
There's Mark, but
that's the older.
Yeah, I didn't catch the other one's name.
Yeah, so he's good. And so Simon's like, oh my God, what? And so also, why was Nigel there?
Because the Hamiltons all just came over for the baby shower.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was getting confused because last week he was having a sleepover right. And I thought he was there before.
Nigel's getting a lot of airtime.
Yeah, he is. Good for you, Nigel. And so this episode kind of like carries out where this kid's brother and Bobby and his brother show up in the backyard with their dog who looks a little bit like a scrappy version of Happy. And then Simon, Nigel, and Ruthie go outside and they've got Happy. And
hold on. Did you catch the part where the reason that Bobby saw Ruthie's underpants on the swings yes. was because she wasn't wearing modesty shorts?
Yeah. Ruthie was telling Annie, and Annie was like, well, why didn't you wear those shorts I got you? And for Ruthie, she was like, because why should I have to wear shorts when this boy could just shut up about talking about my underwear?
Yeah. She had some good lines in this. So, okay. So their dog's name is Sid Vicious instead of Happy.
Right.
Sid Vicious was the singer in the Sex Pistols back in the 70s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they say he's part wolf. Like, yeah, no, like, he's not.
No, he's not.
And they have a standoff in the backyard.
Yeah. And so Ruthie just, I think you're right what you said. I'll bring it up. But Ruthie keeps doing this thing, this like vocalization call. Which
we can't do it. We'll get canceled.
Yeah. It sounds like either like a tribe, an indigenous call to war, like, but like in the way that you think a TV show in the 90s would portray it.
So they do make a comment about Xena in this show, this episode, and I think she's trying to be Xena.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's not, none of these characters even bring up Xena, but somebody does.
Yeah.
And so you were like, oh, I wonder if she's trying to be Xena. Either way, it sounds offensive. It made me uncomfortable, yeah. And they wouldn't stop doing it.
No. And so what happens? So they're having a standoff in the backyard with the dogs, yeah. And did you catch where the older next door neighbor brother calls Simon the peroxide kid? Because he's so blonde.
No, I missed it.
He was like, oh, peroxide kid. And so then Ruthie starts this chant.
Yeah.
And they start running towards each other in like a slow-mo fight scene.
Yeah. Nigel breaks it up. They decide we need to reconvene at a later date with the even older siblings.
Yeah. Conveniently enough, the neighbors' children also all have an age
except
alignment.
For Lucy, which maybe that's except why for she's Lucy. At camp all by myself. And so the next time that they all get together, now they have Ruthie, Simon, Nigel's just there, and Mary. And then who do they have? They have Bobby's slightly older brother, and then
Mark.
Hot Mark, the high school brother.
Hot Mark.
Yeah, with the intention that Mary is going to whoop his ass. But then instead, they're just like, oh my God, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you? Bop, 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 bop. And they start flirting.
Like, do you guys live, first of all, you live next door to each other, and you all seemingly go to the same school, and they're all acting like they haven't seen each other in years.
Yeah.
Except for Bobby and Ruthie.
Yeah. Yeah, so then the littler kids are like, well, shoot, like, we're obviously not going to win this fight if they're just flirting. So then they're like, we're going to have to get even bigger guns.
But first, the mom comes over.
Oh, yeah.
So the moms find out that there was a run-in, an incident with the, like, Mary age group and down. And the mom comes over and says that the Camden kids need to stop harassing her kids. And Annie says that Bobby needs to stop obsessing about underwear.
And then she makes a rude comment about how Annie is pregnant with twins.
Yeah.
And how she's going to control all the kids.
Yes. And then Ruthie has like a monologue about her underwear and how she should be able to wear what she wants. And her kid, Bobby, needs to like keep his hands to himself, basically.
Yeah.
Then the four kids come over.
Yeah.
With an even older one whose nose Matt.
Yeah. They're in university together.
Yeah. And they like.
But is this where Gabrielle Union comes back?
Yeah, because I think she's there too. Isn't she?
But she's not in the big fight scene.
Okay, then maybe she's there when Mary's there and they start flirting with Mark. Like, well, Mary's there.
Yeah, so
Mark.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union, who plays the same age as Mary, is there for a time. Nigel's older sister.
And then Lynn, who is the same age
as Ruthie.
Friend as Ruthie, is also there.
Yeah.
So then the four kids, now the baby shower is over, so the Hamiltons have left.
Yeah.
And they do make a point of Mrs. Hamilton saying, we're leaving.
Yeah.
So now it's just the four Camdens and the four neighbor kids, who are all boys.
Yeah.
And their dog. And they kind of like, so Matt and the kid that's his age, they are like, oh, hey, man. Hey, bro.
Yeah.
I'll see you at university. It's so great. And Mark and Mary go and like sit off on some patio furniture and just like flirt. And everything is like seemingly okay.
Yeah. They all decide, okay, we're not going to fight. Let's get over this, guys.
And they start to walk away from each other. And who brings up
the oldest brother?
Oh,
the
yeah.
oldest, what's his name, brother?
Matt's older brother?
No.
Matt's equivalent.
Matt's equivalent. Yeah.
He says, does he say the thing about Annie first?
Yeah, he says something about Annie.
He says Annie's pregnant and something about a dog being pregnant. And then one of the younger brothers says, yeah, our dog had puppies.
But only had four.
But only had four or something.
There's going to be seven of you.
Yeah. And how is she going to like control all seven of you?
Yeah.
And then
They basically all just start slow-mo running at each other.
And chanting
this vocalization.
And it ends in like, they slam together. Like, what's that Mel Gibson movie?
I don't know. Some with the horses and the blue and white face paint.
Yes, it's I've never so seen famous. It.
Dancing with Wolves.
No, my gosh.
What is it?
I can't remember. Anyways. It's like they all just run together and they're just like fighting. Each age is fighting the appropriate age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that kind of like wraps up that. It's ridiculous. But then the other. What?
Braveheart.
Braveheart.
It's going to drive me nuts.
Like, I know somebody listening to this is screaming at their speaker. It's
Braveheart, you idiots.
When did that come out? 1995. Okay.
Okay.
So,
do you want to talk about,
like, Eric doesn't really have his, they have that.
Mm-hmm.
There's this like undertone of racism in this,
the whole scene.
So why don't we talk about like Eric and the men?
Okay. So Annie, so this baby shower is happening.
Yeah.
And Annie's like, well, I need a friend. Like, it's because the baby shower is being put on by the church ladies who, like, aren't necessarily her BFFs.
And Annie had no idea about it. And she finds out it's tomorrow.
At her house.
At her house.
A surprise baby shower at her house.
So Annie calls on
Mrs. Hamilton. Patricia.
Yeah.
And she's like, can you come and, like, be my wingman, basically? Like, I need some help with this.
Yeah. And she's like, sure, I'll bring everybody and they can help clean.
Yeah.
And the guys can go off and do guy things.
Yes. So this is why all the other Hamilton kids are there.
Yeah.
So to get out of the house for the baby shower, Reverend Hamilton and Eric and Matt and what's his name? The older brother.
I always forget, but like
they didn't say it.
The Hamilton equivalent of Matt.
They are going to go out for lunch.
Yeah. And they were like playing, not to the billiards, which I thought was weird, but they're like playing like a like
we've already had this conversation where we couldn't think of the name of those machines. It's not
pinball.
Pinball, yeah,
a pinball machine.
Yeah, they're playing pinball, and it's clearly not the billiards. But it comes to light that Reverend Hamilton had a gift card or a two for one
coupon for a new restaurant.
They were going to try it out,
so they're like, "Let's go try it out." So they're sitting there, they're talking. Matt and Eric's food get delivered, and the server walks away. And Eric's like, they're just sitting there, and what's his name? We don't know. Mr. Hamilton?
Mr. John? Hamilton. Reverend Hamilton. John. I think it's John.
He's like, oh, you guys start eating. And Eric's like, no. Like, we'll wait for your food to arrive. It should be up right next. And so they're waiting and waiting, and their food's getting cold. And
oh, the son is John.
Oh. What's the dad then?
Morgan.
Oh, Morgan. Yeah. Okay. So Morgan looks over, and you can see that the server is talking to the hostess, not worried about bringing the Hamiltons food.
Like ignoring them.
And so he goes over, he like waves them over, and the server comes and he's like, is there a problem? And he's like, well, yeah, we haven't gotten our food yet. And he's like, well, it sounds like this place isn't what you're looking for. Maybe you need to go somewhere else.
like
it turns racist real fast.
And so then he's like, can I speak to the manager? And he kind of mumbles like, yeah, I see if I can find him.
Yeah, he's not here, but I'll see if I can get hold of him.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
And so,
sure enough, this manager shows up, also tells him he needs to find another place to eat.
Yeah, he's like, my friends here are being polite and they got their food, but they're waiting to start eating until our food comes. And so the server brings it out and it's not the right food. And he's like, this isn't even the food that we ordered. And my friends here now have cold food. And this brand new restaurant owner is like, well, sounds like you should probably just leave, or are we going to have a problem here?
Like, he's like this old white man.
Yeah. And so Morgan is like, it sounds like we're going to have a problem. And he's like, well, I'm going to call the cops. And he's like, please do.
And if you'll recall, Sergeant Michaels, I don't know if we've mentioned this, is a black man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, Sergeant Michaels is going to come and he's black too.
Yeah. And like probably the only cop in Glen Oak anyway, because he's the only one that ever responds to anything.
Well, it's the only one they've paid to be on the show.
Yeah. So Sergeant Michaels and this young cop show up.
Both black men.
Yeah. And they're like, what seems to be the problem here? And so they sort of discuss what's happening. And he looks at the owner of the restaurant and he's like, he basically says, like, you know, it's against the law to like refuse service or like something. Yeah. And then he looks at a sign and there's a sign at the front of the restaurant that says, we reserve the right to... Do you have it written down?
We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Like, you can't just print a sign that says that.
Like, oh, well, if it's in a sign.
Because at one point, I think Morgan even says, we've got shirts and shoes on. Like, why aren't you serving us?
Yeah, like the famous sign that's like, no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yeah.
And the owner is like, well, okay, like, what do you want me to do here? And
he's like, they refer to like some case that happened like one county over where... The restaurant owner got sued recently.
Yeah. And he's like, so unless you're willing to like go to court and have to pay a bunch of money. And then the son, John, is like, well, I have wanted to go to grad school. And yeah. So the guy's like, okay, I'll make it right. And he's like,
Morgan?
Who says, does Morgan or does, I think it's Sergeant Michael say, I'm going to tell all my friends.
To come here. I think it's Morgan, because he says he's going to like tell the church or something to come here.
Right.
So like they're going to flood the place with people of color.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, and then he invites the cop to stay. And so he's like, yeah, sure, why not?
So the two cops stay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was like got like awkward and racist very quickly.
Yeah, they were just out for a nice lunch and suddenly racism.
And at one point, John was like, because Matt and Eric were like, what? No, that can't be what's happening. And John's like, well, it is.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It happens all the time. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that took a real turn.
Yeah. Like, Glen Oak, do better.
Yeah. And then that's kind of the end of that, like main storyline.
Yes. So there's also one underlying storyline that's happening the entire episode where everyone's panicking that the babies are going to be born.
Yes.
And so, and Matt kind of like adds fuel to the fire because he's like, well, when each one of you were born, like it was chaos and whatever, whatever. And so each Camden has like a heart to heart with each of their Hamilton
counterparts.
About how nervous they are about these twins coming.
But it flip-flops. They all start by being like, how horrible this is going to be. And then they sort of have this revelation of, oh, it's actually going to be really great.
Yeah.
And
Ruthie's like, what if I hate them?
Yeah. Ruthie's like, what if they turn out to be awful and I hate them? Like, can we give them back? Are we stuck with them forever? And then as she's talking to Lynn, her little counterpart in the bathtub.
Yeah. We'll get into that.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, when I was a kid, I always got bossed around when I was the youngest. Maybe it would be nice to have my own younger sibling to boss around. And then Ruthie's like, well, there's going to be two. So there's one for each of us.
She's like, I'll just invite you over and we can boss them around. Yeah,
so they decide that the twins are going to be who they get to boss around.
Yeah.
And then Simon, what's like his reservation about the twins?
I think that him and Matt sort of says like, well, you know, the twins are going to take all of mom and dad's time.
Because his revelation of liking it is when he's talking to Nigel and he's like, yeah, Ruthie always used to follow me around being like, Simon, Simon, Simon. And he's like, I guess I do miss that. It was pretty cool, like having someone look up to me.
Yeah.
And so then he decides that it is going to be cool.
Yeah.
To like have little kids looking up to him.
Matt's talking about moving out because there won't be enough room for him.
Yeah. And John's like, don't you think they're going to need all the help they can get? They're going to need somebody who's been through it all to like make sure everyone's in line.
And help drive. And
yeah.
Mary doesn't seem to give two shits about it.
Yeah, she doesn't really. Yeah, you're right. She doesn't really have the same. She actually has a very small piece in this episode.
Yeah. And same with Lucy. I wonder if it was like high school exams or something were happening when they were filming it.
Like, yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
So.
Okay. Should we talk about the baby shower?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, Annie, they've got Annie. So I know she's pregnant with twins. I have never been pregnant with twins. I've only ever been pregnant with one child.
Yeah.
And like, I know that in the last month, you're so huge and you're so uncomfortable. And with twins, it's even more. But they've got it like over the top that she can't, like she's dropped something in the grocery store and she can't pick it up. So she's kicking it around with her feet.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. Like the stereotypical, like very large pregnant lady who can't do anything, but is trying to.
And she's miserable and she only wants to be by herself and everyone's doing everything wrong.
So she's at the grocery store because nobody wants to be around her and she's the only one that can grocery store properly.
Yeah.
Grocery store?
Grocery shop?
Which we already know because remember how bad Eric messed it up when she was sad about her mom dying?
Yeah, no, she's made it clear every time that she likes to go by herself.
Yeah.
This is her sacred time.
She had to take Lucy and Mary the one time and she was pissed about it.
Yeah.
So in the grocery store, so while she's at the grocery store, Eric is also at home with the four kids, like sans Lucy, saying like, when the babies are born, here are your jobs.
Yeah. This could happen any minute, any day.
And so
Matt is responsible for cooking the meals.
Mary's responsible for driving
everybody. Simon's responsible for getting breakfast foods out and cleaning up after everybody in the morning.
And Ruthie's going to water the plants.
Yeah.
So very like age appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while she's in the grocery store, she runs into Mrs. Beaker. And Mrs. Beaker's like, are you ready for the baby shower tomorrow?
Yeah. And she's like, pardon me? I said I didn't want a baby shower. And she's like, well, the church ladies didn't agree with that, so we're throwing you one. And she's like, at the church? And she's like, no, at your house.
And Annie's like, WTF.
Yeah.
Like, so Annie doesn't know. So there's no, and Annie says, I hate that they're going to be in my house. They're so nosy and gossipy.
Yeah.
So that's why she invites Patricia Hamilton over.
To come and help.
Yeah.
And these church ladies, like, there's only like seven of them.
There's only seven of them, but when they were filming the scenes, it looks like there's 25 in the background.
Yes. And weird. They're all at least 75 years old.
Yeah.
Old white ladies. And they're like going through her kitchen and the kids keep calling them out saying like, can I help you find anything? And they're like, oh no, it's just because it's the church's house. We feel as members that we need to inspect it.
And they're like, Mrs. Beaker says something about, must be nice to get a house from the church. My husband and I had to save up for many years to buy our house. Hard
for our house.
And they're just saying, well, because the church owns the house, it's theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is why Ruthie and Lynn are in the bathtub. They're fully clothed. They're actually in dress up, like little kid dress up outfits.
Yeah.
And they're hiding in the bathtub behind the shower curtain so that when the old ladies come in to like snoop around the bathroom, they kind of scare them.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, and then they get out of there. And then they try to go into Mary and Lucy's room and she opens the door and they're like, oh, we're just looking for the bathroom. And then Nigel and Simon are both sitting with their backs against a door.
Holding because, it shut.
Yeah, they're Ruthie and Simon's bedrooms connect. And so somebody keeps knocking and trying to get in. And they're like, no, like, you can't come in here. I just think, like, where's Eric to say, get out of here?
Yeah, like, they were, like, up on stools digging through kitchen cabinets. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. They never showed them in Eric and Annie's bedroom.
Right. But. Yeah. It's where the magic happens.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to talk about Mrs. Hinkle?
Oh, is she the first lady?
Yeah.
Mittens.
Mrs. Hinkle shows up. So if you recall back in season one, they were calling her Mittens because she was playing the organ at the church so terribly that it was like she was wearing mittens while playing. But it turns out she was doing it on purpose in hopes that they would fire her because she didn't want to quit.
Yeah.
And Eric had this whole, we have to fire her moment. Anyways, she wants to retire.
But she shows up. She shows up early. And so they just plop her down in front of the TV and she starts watching
Xena
Princess Warrior, which is where we were like, oh, I wonder if that's maybe what they're
referencing.
Like, yeah. It was a weird situation. So she's just watching the show. And then Annie sits down next to her as the shower begins. And she takes out a bottle of cough syrup and swigs it. And she's like, oh, it's just cough syrup. And Annie's like, but I haven't heard you cough once. And Mrs. Hinkle's like, I know, because of the syrup.
And she's chugging cough syrup.
She's chugging cough syrup. And then at one point she puts it in another old lady's cup without her knowing.
Yeah. So this other old lady is asking for another drink and she holds out her cup. And Miss Hinkle just takes it upon herself to dump cough syrup in her cup.
Like, that's terrible. First of all, cough syrup, blech.
Yeah.
But
like, you
wouldn't see that today, I don't think.
No, but yeah, like I think there's, I don't know, anyways.
Yeah.
I don't want to get us canceled.
Oh, God. So,
but at the very end, when they were all leaving, did you hear somebody say, I hope, is someone driving Mrs. Hinkle home?
Yeah, she's drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So then there's this little old white lady with white hair, a pink sweater and glasses. And she keeps asking Patricia
Hamilton,
who is the wife of the pastor. And she...
Is this her?
Old woman?
Amise Strickland?
Yeah, must be.
Because no other old ladies have a name.
Is the lady who plays... Go up a little bit. Right there. Susan Krebs.
That's Mrs. Tripp.
But what else has she been in? She looks like the lady from Working Moms.
Oh, she's in Mad Men.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, she does look like the lady.
But no, it couldn't be. No. She's too old.
Oh, she's in lots of stuff. Million Dollar Baby.
Oh.
Mad Men. She played Cynthia in Mad Men. She looks like she was in an episode of Shameless. Lots of one episode.
Yeah. Things. Okay. So she keeps asking. So this old lady keeps asking Patricia for refills on her drinks, a snack. And there's this vibe that like the reason she's asking her is because she's black.
And she thinks she's the housekeeper.
Like the help. And Annie notices, but doesn't say anything. And Patricia obviously notices, but is like trying to be a good friend. And so just keeps doing it, obliging. Yeah. And then at the very end, she's like, I have to ask, why do you keep asking me to help? Is it because you think I work here? And then it gets awkward because she's like, oh no, I just think you're so friendly and you've been so kind to help me. And I don't have very many friends. And so when
she says she's old and people sometimes want her to go away. And so when she saw that Patricia Hamilton has like a friendly smile, she was comfortable asking her for things.
Yeah.
But then she also says that she married a black man back in 1938.
Right. Back when it was illegal.
And so, of course, she's not racist. She married a black man.
Yeah. And so then Patricia's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And it's just like, it's awkward. Like, it's like there was this like racist air, but then they did a classic
switcheroony.
Yeah. And bait and switch. That's what it's called. I was like, what am I trying to say? I don't even know if that's the right saying. Yeah, so then it ends with that. And then Annie pretends to go into labor. Yeah,
she's like, ooh, ooh.
Oh, no, it's time. And so then Miss
Beaker
is like, oh, we better get out of here. First of all, bitches, why didn't you stay and clean?
Yeah.
If she's going into labor, let someone take her to the hospital. I mean, I know it's fake, but like,
don't just up and run.
You can't throw someone a shower and not clean up. And then also Patricia grabs the kids and leaves once she's like, I just had to fake going into labor to get rid of everybody. And then Patricia's like, don't worry, we'll leave too.
No one's helping you clean up this.
The house is full of decorations and food and dishes and everybody's left.
Yeah. And like, this was a surprise baby shower that Annie didn't want. It was
terrible.
Terrible. I'm just trying to go through my terribly kept notes because this episode was all over, but I don't think we missed anything.
It was like all over, but not all over. I literally wrote the fight, the war cry. Oh, Eric being terrible at laundry. Oh. So this was like, they always show him being weaponized incompetent because he like doesn't know how to cook. He forgets to turn on the oven. He messes up groceries. He like doesn't know how to cook.
Forgot about the forgetting to turn on the oven episode. Yeah.
And then this time he's trying to do the laundry for Annie and he brings a bunch of clothes over to Simon's room and Simon's like, well, those aren't mine. Those are Matt's. He's like, how do you know? And he's like, I don't know. I just know. And then Eric holds up something else and he's like, oh, is this Matt's? And he's like, no, that's Mary's.
He holds up a pair of like blue boxers. Yeah. And he's like, are these mine, Matt's or yours?
Yeah.
And Simon's like, they're Mary's.
Yeah. It was just like, he's such a doof. Like he doesn't know.
Also, Simon's going to know which clothes are his. So if they're not his, then they're either Matt's or Eric's. Eric, you don't know what your own clothes are?
Yeah.
They just make him be this, like, it's like a stereotypical, like, 90s
dad.
Like, TV trope where the dad doesn't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh, I forgot the one. So
sorry, it wasn't it.
No, the one like quote I wrote down when they're in the restaurant, Sergeant Michaels says, can you afford to keep this restaurant and be a racist? And the restaurant owner is like, well, no, I guess not.
I guess I can't.
And so he turns it around and. Okay. I know my notes. I said, Eric's big talk, out of chaos. Everyone has a job.
So I also wanted to point out that in this episode, we have this Patreon.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And there's an episode over on the Patreon where I talked to Carling about listening to Keeping Up with the Camdens. Is that what it's called? Keeping Up? And
Catching Up?
It's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Right.
It's very different. Anyways, they talk about the, like, how their ages don't necessarily align with the years that have passed and they kind of alter their ages based on how they're aging in real life. Yeah. But they do say they specifically say that Matt is 19 in this episode.
Yeah, even though he's 37 in real life.
And the brother that was supposed to be his like equivalent from the neighbors looked like he was 45.
Yeah, I know. He reminded me of like Danny Tanner from Full House.
Yeah, that's true.
Like some khaki slacks and a smart sweater.
A blazer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Matt is probably almost 30 in real life.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up. How old was he? See, now I'm on the Passions IMDb because that woman was in Passions.
Oh, boy. This is crazy.
I know. Barry Watson. So he was born in 1974.
So by 99, he was 84, 94. He was 25.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't look.
Oh, God.
I just saw a picture. Anyway, we do have a Patreon. If you like listening to us, if you want to hear us talk about things, not just Seventh Heaven, I'm recapping The Baxters just by season because it's
wild.
Wild and problematic and terrible. And we're going to recap some other things.
Yeah.
So you should join the Patreon.
You should.
And I just got an email from Patreon. You can now gift somebody a membership.
Oh.
And I think there's a way that we can give a membership away. So we should do like a contest or some kind of thing
should.
Where we like give either a month or a year's Patreon subscription away.
Yeah, I agree.
And then if you know somebody that you think would like this, you can gift them a Patreon membership.
Yeah, let's brainstorm that idea. Okay, next episode. In Praise of Women.
Oh.
Woman? Women. The Camdens await the arrival of the twins as Annie endures a long, hard labor. So it's baby time.
Baby time. This is, episode 14?
Yeah.
How many episodes are in this season?
Like 23, 22.
Oh, wow. I thought they weren't going to be born until the start of season 4.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, obviously not if it's 14 and they're...
Well, I thought so. Sorry.
Oh.
So they always do a part 1, part 2 for the end of their seasons.
Yeah.
So... buckle up because the part 1, part 2 is about Heather's wedding, which I just feel like is a boring storyline.
Because she's deaf?
No, because she's not a main character. We're probably never going to see her again.
Well, only time will tell.
All right.
It's now noon. We're going to make some lunch and then do some
chores.
Household chores. Because
go get the kids. Go to family dinner.
Yeah. Being an adult means putting away laundry.
You can go to work.
Yeah. Sure. Making lunches.
Great.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.